It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, welcome to the Keep Sounding Podcast. This is your bi-week Carolina Panthers edition. This is Brian, joined by John as always. John, how you been doing this NFL season?
Oh, the NFL season part of things is just fantastic. It's great.
Yeah, it's really good, especially when the team we're here to talk about is 0-6. Not something I expected after the offseason.
No, probably not as good as people thought. I think Steve Smith said the Panthers are going to be in the playoffs. I mean, they still could be.
They still could be.
Not eliminated yet. But yeah, it hasn't gone well. We'll get into this, but I think it's been less bad than it's felt. But
yeah,
it's felt pretty bad.
It's just one of those things where you went in being a little excited about the fact that the Panthers had their new franchise quarterback. Well, that's to be determined, I guess. But, you know, after the last 3 years of just utter misery for the most part.
Yeah.
So they had that. They had their superstar coaching staff, and they proceeded to win less games than anyone over the last 3 years in the first six games. It's not fun.
As long as the Panthers get out of being the top pick, I'll be okay. Because that will be really bad to have, like, to give up the farm to move up to get Bryce Young, only to be bad enough the next year to get the number one pick on our own, miss out on a better quarterback prospect, no offense, Bryce, and not have the pick.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even if they give him, like, a top five pick, like, let's say 4 or 5, I'd be like, oh, whatever, you know? I mean,
right.
Like... That's the whole thing. It was a gamble, and we knew it going in, but they kind of sold us on the fact that, oh, Bryce Young is as pro-ready as can be for a rookie quarterback, and then all of a sudden he looks like a rookie, which, you know, if you had a first-round pick next year, it doesn't look as bad, but it looks real bad right now.
It also doesn't help him that C.J. Stroud has been so good, and then Anthony Richardson's been pretty good when he's not getting hurt. So, yeah.
It is kind of ironic that the biggest draw against Bryce Young was the fact that he's so small and the injury concerns, and that Anthony Richardson has gotten hurt in every game he's played and is now out for the season.
Right, yeah. The shelf life of the running quarterback, he is, like, putting it to the test very quickly. Because normally what the argument always is like, oh, running quarterbacks, they can't stand up to the hits and all that stuff. And then usually the counter to that is like, well, they don't tend to get hurt when they're running. It's usually in the pocket where the injuries happen. But all three times that Anthony Richardson been hurt have been while he's running. So not been a good start on that front.
Yeah, it's just a reminder that a quarterback like Cam Newton is just an entirely different animal. And Josh Allen is in the same, where they're built like linebackers. And Richardson's not a small guy by any means, but he's not built like Cam. So it's like,
it's just unlucky too. Like, he just, like, banged his knee the first time, he landed on his head the second time, and then a really awkward fall the third. Like, I don't think there's anything that would be like, oh, he's going to keep come back and keep getting hurt. Like, he could come back and not get hurt for 6 years, but
that's the hope. I mean, that's actually a good point that we can transition into the next part of the show, is injuries are just very unpredictable. The Panthers defense was supposed to be kind of like their the thing they could rest their laurels on. Like, you know, they returned almost all of their starters from last year, and all of them are getting hurt. They basically have their own medical wing in the Charlotte hospital for them at this point.
Right. And it's all like, and it feels like it's very, it's like hitting position groups like really hard and other ones not as much, which is probably worse because it's not like, oh, we're just kind of like scraping off the top, but we're still like, you know, near the top of the depth chart. It's like the safeties, it's just like, we're just, the entire safety group is just practice squad players at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unfortunate timing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough when the Dolphins are the team on the schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that when I read that on over the or over last week when I saw the both starting safeties were going to be out. Dante Jackson was returning from an injury, and it's just like, oh, this is not going to be good. And sure enough, it was not good.
No, it was very not good.
Yeah. Just looking at the defense right now, Marquise Haynes is still on IR, J.C. Horn on IR, which I've just ceded any kind of argument that he's not injury prone at this point. I've given up. It's,
yeah, I don't think you could fight that right now.
No, there's no fighting it because that was just a hamstring injury that apparently put him out for enough weeks to be put on IR. Then Shaq Thompson got knocked out for what I believe is the entire season.
Yeah.
Frankie Louvu has been battling injuries like crazy, so that never helps when you're – even when he's playing, it's not going to help him. Then, obviously, Dante Jackson's been on and off the injury report constantly. And then even this week we found out that Jeremy Chinn's going to be out for several weeks as well. So, yay.
Brian Burns and Derek Brown were both questionable going into the game against the Dolphins. Brian Burns practiced fully on Friday, but like neither practiced on Thursday, and Brown was limited all week. So like they maybe weren't like in doubt of missing the game, but they're also like banged up. So it's like,
yeah. And the Panthers defense was already not the most, that was a big concern going in, was just the fact that their defense was so thin at the depth positions. And so the worst case scenario happened, and now they have all these corners who, aside from CJ Henderson, which even then I would call him maybe a practice squad player, depending on who you talk to at this point, are all playing significant snaps. I mean, right now, looking at the Panthers' depth chart, they have CJ Henderson, Jackson, Troy Hill, and Deshaun Jameson as their four corners. So that already looks like a very, very thin unit. So, hasn't been good.
No, the one thing that kind of, there, like the silver lining, if you could call it that, in those situations, is like guys get a chance, and like since the season's not really going anywhere, it's like, oh, maybe somebody will pop off, and like Deshaun Jameson's been better than expected, not like great, but like, oh, there's a guy here that can stick around for a while as a depth like corner piece.
Yeah, I would agree. I actually really like Troy Hill for what he's being brought in to deal with as well. He was just some veteran they picked up off the streets, where he was kind of a no name for the most part. I mean, he played significant time with the Rams, but yeah, I mean, they're getting as much as they can out of what they have. And
yeah, Hill's been good. I just like I didn't realize, like when he first kind of like, you know, when we first signed him, because I didn't recognize his name, and then it was like, oh, he's 32 and he's been in the league for 8 years. Like, oh, no idea this guy existed. He's been better. He's also been good, but like,
yeah,
just kind of like, he like to my point earlier, he's not like a long term, like, oh, this guy'll stick around for a while, because he probably will fall off a cliff at any point.
Right. No, I mean, the fact that they have so many injuries they're dealing with in the secondary compound, and even just all over the place, compounded with the fact that the pass rush just hasn't really shown up consistently either, has been bad. I mean, yeah, it's definitely led to the offense having to do more, and this is just not an offense that's built to consistently score points. Like, I feel like the Dolphins game, for example, would have been winnable if the offense was not trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
Still, because they came up with a 14-point lead at that point. You know, if you score two or three more times, you can kind of keep pace with the Dolphins, but they can't, because, you know.
Yeah. That's also, and that's something that I'm curious about going forward. And we'll talk about it more with the offense. I guess we can, is like, and it's been the trend seemingly every game, and I don't have like the stats to like back it up right now, but I'm sure I feel pretty confident that they would say this. The Panthers feel like they get progressively worse offensively as the game goes on.
I would 100% agree with that. I think they always have like a decent game plan coming out going to start the game, and then it just kind of falls apart. And I know that a lot of that has to do with just defenses are scheming against their offense, which Bryce Young can't. Bryce Young is a rookie, regardless of where you think he is mentally. He is a rookie, and I've seen a number of times where the defense just called a better play and a bad thing happens, like later on in games. It obviously doesn't help that their offensive line is so battered on the interior. But yeah, no, I would 100% agree that they kind of just start to fall off a cliff. And part of that has also been going away from the running game for whatever reason through like as games progress. I don't know why they do that.
Probably just because they're behind. And that's just
Well,
like the
not even
natural
that. Like there
tendency.
were a lot of close games throughout the early parts of the season where it just seemed like they started throwing the ball more. And I know part of that has to do with when defenses limit your rushing attack, where you have like second and nine or like third and seven after you've run the ball. So that obviously plays into it as well. But overall, I see things that make me optimistic about the offense. Like every game, Bryce Young has like a couple throws where I'm like, damn, that was a really good throw. But then there's those throws where he anticipates the right throw, but doesn't throw it right, or just makes a horrible read because he didn't see whatever. And that's all rookie quarterback stuff that we should have been ready for. But the coaches told us that we shouldn't have to worry about that.
I think, like I said, like CJ Stroud doing the numbers he is, and I think we forget kind of how what like a normal rookie quarterback looks like who we were just talking about, like Tua has been killing it for the Dolphins, and he was like very similar as a rookie to what Bryce Young is, like very low yards per attempt, like not really pushing the ball down the field, like very kind of like dink and dunky type of stuff, and then he's turned into a really good quarterback. Trevor Lawrence was the same way. Trevor Lawrence was like supposed to be like the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, and he completed less than 60% of his passes and averaged and had more interceptions than touchdowns as a rookie. Like, it's not like damning by any means for a rookie quarterback to come out and like be a rookie quarterback, and which is what Bryce has looked like. He's looked like a rookie quarterback. He hasn't looked bad. He hasn't looked terrible, in a sense. You know what I mean? Like you said, he makes good throws. Like the ball placement's really good. He had some mistakes, especially early, but like he's you can see him like learning as the season's gone on, and he's been steadily improving, it feels like, as the season has gone on. So like I don't know if it's time to like write him off yet. And to be fair, the schedule the Panthers have played has been like not the
Brutal.
easiest. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
Especially
I mean
from an
they fit.
offensive side of the ball, like the Saints, the first like the Saints, Vikings, and Falcons aren't like good teams, but they all have good defenses. Well, the Vikings isn't the best, but they've been better. You know what I mean? And then like the Lions have a good defense, and then the Dolphins are the Dolphins. So like this next coming like chunk of the schedule, all of a sudden maybe things look a lot different after the bye week. Which will
Yeah, I
definitely be
mean,
attributed to the coordinator change, not like the schedule, but that's a whole other thing.
yeah, no, I mean, the Panthers played against a bunch of the first two games of the season were just against pretty good defenses and with a rookie quarterback, yada, yada, yada. The Vikings game, I feel like that was just a matter of that they were matched up against a team that was going to be able to score points regardless. And obviously, the defense factors into that too. And then Dolphins, Lions, just horrible stretch there. I mean, let's be real.
That's like a possible Super Bowl matchup there.
Yeah, you can't expect an offense that's kind of trying to find its way to keep up with those teams, and those teams have scored a lot of points on a lot of very good defenses as well over the last couple seasons. So I'm optimistic going after the bye week just because they're going to be in situations where it's going to be a little more defensive football, where now that like the scoring 21 points is going to be kind of where the sweet spot is to win, I feel like. where against the Dolphins and the Lions, you had to score a hell of a lot more than that to even come close. So, you know.
Yeah. They have more of a shot, I think, and it'll get better. Yeah. I think, and then I touched on this before the show. As bad as I think it feels like, and it's just the offense has been like below average. It hasn't been like horrific. And what's weird about it, if you read the offensive like review, the Panthers are like middle of the pack in like first downs and like third down conversion percentage and stuff. So like they're moving the ball and they're picking up first downs. They've just been picking up small yard. They're not picking up chunk plays. So it's like,
yeah,
it's like if the big plays ever come around, then the offense will look better. But like, cause they have like the little things down. It's just, they're not hitting anything big, which is partly a personnel problem.
It is, but it's also an execution problem. And I agree. It's when you look at it that way, the fact that they've had so many first downs, it just means that the fact that they can't hit the big play, they're, you can't really expect an offense to consistently score points when they have to get like 5 to 6 first downs just to get into scoring range. It's like you need those 20 to 25 yard plays. Yeah. You need those deep passes occasionally just to give the offense a chance. It's so. I agree.
They actually have, and they're actually pretty close. I almost put this in instead. They're like middle of the pack in first downs per play as well, like a little bit lower. So it's not like it's just like they're picking up a bunch of first downs like on third down, and they're picking up first downs, but it's like they're picking up 7 yards and then 3 yards and then 4 yards and then 6 yards. And then it's just like, which is, like you said, it's not sustainable. Despite the fact that for some reason we always get super excited about teams going on like 16 play drives,
happen 4 times a game.
No, and yeah, it's not a sustainable way to run an offense. Despite what Mike McCarthy would like us to believe, I don't know. Bryce Young needs to open it up, but I also think they need to let him open it up. And then I just think part of it is just like his best big play threat is DJ Shark, which is not who you want your best big play threat to be long term.
No, I mean, I could very much see a resurgence from Bryce Young similar to Tua if they were able to get someone like Tyreek Hill, for example, for him the next. They're not going to get him next year because they don't really have the capital, but like two years out, 3 years out, you could see him doing a lot better because he excelled at Alabama with some solid wide receivers. Now, granted, his last season in Alabama wasn't as strong, but as far as his supporting cast, and he was still fine.
But that's kind of how it is. You, like, most quarterbacks don't really, like, you need people to throw to. Like, Josh Norris on Twitter, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with him because he's one of the few kind of, like, Panthers fans in national media. He's been kind of, like, doing this sort of, like, mini campaign. And he posted a couple things where after the touchdown that he threw to Adam Thielen, which was a really good throw, he's like, imagine if Bryce Young has 3 players as good as 33-year-old Adam Thielen.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's hard for me because I did see players flashing open. Like, Mingo was open several times in the Dolphins game, and Hayden Hurst was open on that one deep throw he made, but he kind of threw it a little too early, so it wasn't set up to succeed. So it's certainly not just the offensive weapons, because there are times that they are open, but it's one of those things where they're not that good to the point where they can make his job extremely easy, we see across the NFL. Right.
It's just they're like, it's like not a bad receiving core for maybe like a more veteran, you know, veteran quarterback.
Like,
that's
like Andy Dalton.
By the way, you know who's a free agent? The free agent wide receiver class 2024 is bad. Without knowing who's like a possible cut, but you know who is in that class? Future superstar Curtis Samuel.
Oh, great! We can get him back so that they can continue to not hit him with the ball.
He's
wonderful.
Yeah, remember, he's really, really good. He's star receiver in waiting.
I mean, he'd be fine. He'd be fine on a team with like a Patrick Mahomes. I think you'd have a, I think you'd have yourself a 1,000-yard receiver there, John.
Sure.
Pretty easily at that.
Yeah, with his 700 yards last year.
That's only 300 yards away, buddy. That's like two games worth with Patrick Mahomes.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know, like I said, I don't know who like what the cap market is, especially because wide receivers seem to be getting increasingly more valuable, where like it's less likely to find a good receiver on the market for like a cap casualty thing. But yeah, I feel like that's like you said, and hopefully Mingo gets better. I think Mingo will get better. I know Bryce has missed him a few times. I think also Mingo hasn't done a great job of like earning trust to this point. He's kind of struggled with anything remotely contested, but hopefully that'll also improve as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, we saw DJ Moore in his first, in his rookie year, and I kind of feel like they're a little bit more similar. Like Moore wasn't the best route runner coming out of college. He was just kind of a guy who could run with the ball. Not saying they're even remotely on the same plane, because I know DJ Moore is an easy wide receiver one on a good offense, but they kind of have that same skill set, and DJ Moore was someone where he kind of refined things as he was going on in his career. So I'm willing to give him time. Obvious, and yeah, as far as the free agent market, interesting that you brought that up. So Adam Thielen was one that a lot of people bitched about how much the Panthers paid him, but
Yeah,
that turned out to
that's looking like
be
a steal.
turned out to be a steal in all facets of things. I mean, he's like the wide receiver three or four in fantasy as well right now,
Right.
in PPR leagues. But it's funny because DJ Chark was the guy that everybody thought was the steal because the Panthers only paying him $5 million. The Dolphins, or not the Dolphins, the Lions fans were sad to let him go, and he's been replaceable level as far as his production at this point.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny how that works. Looking at the free agent market, so maybe
But
that means
yeah.
Carolina just needs to give the next wide receiver a 3-year contract who's coming off of being cut from his
Sign like Odell Beckham or something. Just go for the like old guy that used to be really good and hasn't been good, like hasn't been productive for a few years, and just see if they suddenly just like pop off again. Like Adam
Take.
Thielen last had 1,000 yards. Also, people might be surprised at that. Adam Thielen's only been a 1,000-yard receiver twice.
He's always been a touchdown guy,
Yeah,
but yeah.
he's on pace for like 1,300 yards this year, I think.
Yeah,
And
on a
so,
bad
like,
offense,
yeah.
yeah.
So that should just be the thing, is like find a guy that used to be really productive and just like hasn't been. Maybe they'll find it again.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see though. But speaking of that, talking about potential off-season acquisitions, what do you think about potential trades for the Panthers at this point?
I don't know. It feels like, I guess, like it kind of makes sense, but like it also, as a fan, I'm gun shy, and I wouldn't be surprised if the team is too, because it feels like they're kind of just like turning their wheels to end it to not go anywhere, right? Like the Panthers, like they unloaded Christian McCaffrey for draft picks because they didn't, get off the salary, and running back was not mattering and stuff. And then Christian McCaffrey's been like an MVP, and then moving DJ Moore to move up to get Bryce Young, and now it's like, well, what we could really use right now is DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey. So now we're like hunting for their replacements. We're just like using the draft capital that we've acquired to try to like hunt for their replacements, and I feel like that's just kind of the next step again, right? It's like now we're gonna like trade Brian Burns, or what, we not Jeremy Chinn anymore because he's hurt. I don't think anybody's gonna want that, but we're gonna like trade Brian Burns or something to try to like replenish some of the draft capital we gave up to get Bryce Young. And then we're gonna be having this conversation in a few weeks of like, man, we really need a pass rusher. And then in like, and I know it resets the salary and stuff, but it just feels like they need to just kind of eat it and build from what they have. Because they have the money to keep Brian Burns around. It's not like him being re-signing him is prohibitive, and he's very young still. So,
If they had a first round pick next year, I would probably be on board, more so on board with trading Brian Burns. But at the same time, I really think he's the only tradable asset they had that they should look at, because
Yeah.
Frankie Luvu, like, I don't give a shit what anyone says. Like, Frankie Luvu is a very good linebacker, and they should keep him around, especially since
Right.
Shaq Thompson's at the on the last legs of his career. He can double as a pass rusher when needed. Offensive line is where I see other tradable assets. And it's like, okay, are you going to get rid of Ike Mukwonu after trading him at after drafting him sixth overall last season? Are you going to trade Bradley Bozeman after you just gave him a big contract? Like, Austin Corbett also has a bigger contract. Taylor, like, at some point, pretty much every player they can trade on the offense, aside from like Miles Sanders, and I don't think you can get anything for him, is going to be a detriment to their future. But Brian Burns
Yes.
is someone where I could see them making that trade if they can get what they want, only because Brian Burns seems real fed up with the Panthers right now. And I don't know about you, but I can kind of see it reflected in his play. And I also know that he's getting chipped a lot at times. Not every game. Like, the Vikings shut him down quite a bit, and that was really just offensive tackle doing a good job against him. But Burns just seems frustrated, and his heart doesn't necessarily seem in it. So I could see them pulling the trigger on trading him just because of that, because I don't think he's in for a rebuild anymore.
Yeah, I think I feel like they just you have to make the asking price high. I think you have to try to get like multiple firsts or like a first and a second or something like that.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, a first and a second would I would be okay with next in next year's draft. If it's 2025, then I'd want that first and maybe like 2026 first as well.
Yeah.
Kind of replicate the Rams trade. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's tough to say because they have so many, because like you were saying, they traded away CMC and DJ Moore, and now they are clearly seeing what happens when you trade away your great offensive players for a rookie quarterback. So
yeah. Yeah, we
I don't know.
The joke that I've had with like my friends and family watching Panthers games, especially when like like seeing the other stuff going on around the league, is like Christian McCaffrey scores for the 15th straight game. It's like, boy, it'd be nice to have that guy on your team. And then like DJ Moore scores, is like, man, could you imagine being on a team with DJ with both of those guys? That'd be crazy. That offense would be
Yeah.
so good. It's like, that would never happen though. And that's been like kind of our running joke as the season has gone on. Because anytime any of those two go do something well, it's like, boy, I wish we could have a guy like that.
Yeah, I own both of them in fantasy. So DJ Moore's
Nice.
Like 50-point fantasy week was cathartic, only in the sense that I told a bunch of people, I was like, you can get DJ Moore at a very good value, and I guarantee he'll be like a wide receiver too easily. And first few weeks, he didn't really show me that. And then that 50-point game, I was like, ha, I was right.
And it was
oh,
on
wait, but he used to
TV.
play for us. Yeah.
On national TV, so everybody could see it happen too. It's like, oh, dang, that guy is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. By the way, I forgot to, we didn't talk about him. Austin Corbett coming back after the bye week should help the offense a lot too, if assuming he's anything like he was pre-injury.
Yeah, and it'll help just because they won't have this revolving door at guard, because they just can't seem to figure that out between Chandler Zavala and his neck injury that kept them out. I believe it kept them out on Sunday. Now they have, and then Calvin Throckmorton, who was supposed to be like their third or fourth option at guard, are all starting.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen a bunch of film play of film stuff on Twitter where Ekwonu got beat, but at the same time, the guard just looked completely lost. Didn't drop enough depth so that Ekwonu wouldn't get beat inside. Like, you know,
yeah,
just a whole lot of that whole O-line
like little
acclimation
things, yeah.
thing. We actually got lucky last year because the Panthers really only had to switch out their center, and Bradley Bozeman was good. But now it's like, okay, well, when that starting five, which one of the selling points on this offensive line. We didn't have Corbett to start the year, and then Brady Christensen was out after 1 week. So
yep.
That just kind of blew up that one big selling point of rookie quarterback behind an offensive line that knows what everybody else is doing. So
right. That's where we're like almost back to that line now, where
yeah.
Like I said, if Corbett's back to what he was, that's good. And then Throckmorton's been like decent.
A lot more solid than I would have expected, considering when I was looking at like the PFF grades and stuff of his coming in, that he looked awful. So
yeah, so if
that
he's
seems like a solid,
decent, and we have, you know, Icky, who's been, I feel like, playing himself into a better form than he started with. I think there the line has a chance to at least kind of like become somewhat of a, like, a passable unit, like closer to what we saw last year.
It'll help a lot more if they run the fucking ball behind him more often. Like they did that first quarter against the Dolphins. Then they just kind of stopped.
Depends on who it is. Miles Chuba has been, the often maligned Chuba Hubbard has been m much better than Miles Sanders.
Well, I've said this, I don't know if I've said it on CSR yet, but Chuba does what this kind of offense needs better than Miles Sanders. Like Sanders came from an offensive line that was super elite. They had tons of depth, so he could do the whole like dancing around, find the hole, get a big gain. Where like this
Yeah.
current state of the offensive line, which may change with quarterback coming back, but the current state of the offensive line is they need a guy who will pick a lane and go just run himself into the
Yeah.
ground for like 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards. That's what they need. And Chuba does that extremely well. Miles Sanders does not do that well, at least based on what I've seen.
It feels like Chuba is a guy that, like, if you put him behind the best offensive line in football, he will run for like five or like not he will run for 6 to 7 to 8 yards on a good run if he finds a hole. And then if you put him behind a bad offensive line, he will run for like 6 or 7 or 8 yards through whatever hole. And he's just kind of the same guy, because it's like you said, he's kind of what he does. He just picks a spot and he runs really hard, and then he just like runs as fast as he can until someone trips him. Where Miles Sanders feels like his success is more variable based on the blocking, to your point, right? Where he can like be, he's like, he's shiftier and he's a little more elusive, and if you get him space, he can make more out of it. But he's not getting space, so he's not as effective as Chuba, who's just going to run, like, just bash his head against the wall and pick up a few yards no matter what.
Yeah, now Chuba Hubbard's style is very much to just fucking
He's like,
run straight and pick a spot. And
yeah,
that's
better
kind
for a
of what.
bad offensive line, right? Like,
Yeah,
you'll just run and fall forward.
they don't have to run block for as long. There's less variability. It's just the only thing is that I wish he was a little bigger because then he'd be better for those fourth and one, like those short situations, because he's still small enough that he can get stacked up if the run blocking isn't great. But other than that, no, I mean, if they could get anything for Miles Sanders at this point, I would trade him to a playoff team and just roll with Chuba Hubbard, Raheem Blackshear, Laviska Shenault, and somebody from their practice squad as their running backs, and just kind of go from there and just establish more of a power rushing attack. Because as we saw late last year, that's what this offensive line excels at blocking.
Yeah.
I don't know. They try to be too damn smart for their own damn good sometimes. But yeah, overall, offense is definitely what's the most disappointing about the Panthers. I mean, the Panthers defense sucks and the injuries suck, but that's one of those things where it's just a fact of life. You sometimes get destroyed by injuries and bad things happen. So, but I think the next section of our podcast, we can talk about the transition from Frank Reich calling plays to Thomas Brown, and maybe our thoughts on the coaching staff and what the future looks like going forward, John. I don't know what you think
Works,
about
yeah.
that.
Works for me.
Frank Reich was originally going to play the, or excuse me, call the plays for what he called the foreseeable future. He didn't really put a timeline on it, but oddly, right after the Dolphins game, where the Panthers offense pretty much sputtered out after their initial 14-point onslaught in the first quarter, now Thomas Brown's calling plays. What are your thoughts, John?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think I don't have like super strong thoughts. I think like he's been the offensive coordinator. I don't think like this, he's just been like sitting and watching while Frank Reich does all the work. So it's not like, I don't think it's gonna be drastically different in terms of like a schematic, like scheme perspective. I think anything will just be more changes in situational play calls and stuff. Like, I don't think we're gonna start seeing a bunch of creative, like, crazy different things happening. I also don't think this is like as reactionary as we might think, because like this has been the plan, right? Like, maybe not, I don't know if there's ever a timeline given for it, but like Thomas Brown was always going to call the plays at some point. Like he even like in an interview with NFL Network earlier this year, they talked to him about whenever you do take over play calling, whether that be this year or after the season or whatever, how do you like, you know, what's your approach to it and stuff like that. So I don't think this is any like desperation, like, oh, we need a spark, let's try this. You know, I think it was always a plan and it's a good time to do it since, you know, the season's kind of gotten away from the Panthers already anyway. So if it was always a plan to give Thomas Brown the play calling duties, like there's no reason to really wait. So I don't know. It's not anything crazy to me.
Yeah, I would kind of agree. I mean, it's the bye week, so they'll have the extra 2 weeks to kind of get with the program as far as him calling plays. I do almost think it might have been reactionary, only in the sense that I know that David Tepper has been having meetings with Frank Reich pretty much after every game. So that might have been the time where he pushed for Thomas Brown, though. That was the whole objective, was to get the hot shot young offensive play caller that can change things up. But Thomas Brown did build the playbook. Obviously, as you said, this was the plan at some point going forward. My only hope is that we see a lot less procedural issues, which happened a lot with Frank Reich, between the play calls not getting out to Bryce Young fast enough, or the huddle not getting ready for the snap fast enough. That might be a combination of Bryce Young and Frank Reich's issues, but he didn't outright say he forgot about him, but Terrace Marshall coming off like a 9 reception game, not getting any snaps against the Lions. It's like, you know, maybe it was just time to pass it off and let the young guy who this is what he's trying to build his career on do, where Frank Reich is. Go ahead.
There's also like the thing of like he called a play with the expectation that it would go to Adam Thielen, and Adam Thielen was like out hurt, and he didn't realize that Thielen was like had left the game.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Yeah. Speaking of Terrace Marshall, did he play? Did he get on the field at all against the Dolphins?
He did. He dropped a very crucial first down. Well, not crucial, but a pretty big third down. What would have been a first down pass against the Dolphins.
He got targeted 3 times. I just like, did not even notice him.
Yeah. No, I mean, my hope is that when Thomas Brown comes in to start calling the plays, that maybe they spread the ball around a little more, even though they'll hurt my fantasy team quite a bit. just because
I think Panthers fans will be okay in your fantasy
team. Yeah. I mean, Thielen's fine. Thielen's great. He's done a lot more than I would have expected, but they really do need to spread the ball around a lot more. And the timing issues, I'm not sure if that's a Bryce Young thing or if that's an offensive coordinator thing, but regardless, there have been a number of times where, like even in the Dolphins game, for example, and JT O'Sullivan on his quarterback school YouTube channel brought up a really good point that Bryce Young got hit real early in that game. And a lot of it was dramatic things, like the offensive guard not dropping back far enough, or there was the one play where it was they had like 2 or 3 wide receivers on the right side towards the end zone. Dolphins player comes off the edge at cornerback and just blows up Bryce Young. No one was there to block him. So hopefully that kind of stuff gets cleaned up a little bit with a new offensive play caller, though I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. That stuff kind of feels like preparation stuff more than play calling, which that shouldn't. I don't think the preparation changes at all. So, yeah, I don't like. I don't think. I don't really anticipate. Like, I think people will point things out that they find are different now that they're looking for it. But I feel like if they just like did this quietly, and I mean they didn't announce it like yet reported, but like, well, no, the team also wrote a big article about it. But if this wasn't like pointed out publicly, I have a feeling no one would like suspect anything was different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I think there's too much. I think it's just going to be very, very, very subtly different.
Nah, I mean, it's really just a situation of somebody needed to dive on their sword because Panthers fans are mad, and rightfully so. Because they were fed the idea that this offense would be good and that they might be contending for the NFC South. And now they're 0-6 and things have to turn around very quickly for them.
Right.
So it's funny too, because looking at their schedule going forward, you know, if they come out and all of a sudden win some games, score like 24 points or so, people are going to say, oh, look at this hotshot new offensive coordinator. Right. Well, they're playing the Texans, who picked second overall last year. They're playing the Colts following that, who are going to be missing their starting quarterback. Granted, Gardner Flint Minshew the second will be playing for them most likely, so that may not change. Then they're playing the Chicago Bears, who have Justin Fields hurt, and their offense hasn't been great aside from that one game against the Bears. So they have a three-week stretch where all of a sudden it might look like this guy is really the new hotshot offensive coordinator, the young guy that everyone's been clamoring for.
Yeah, that was what I alluded to earlier. I was like, yeah, they're going to – like, the schedule gets significantly easier all like for the offense, and then, you know, it happens to coincide with the new play caller. So it'll be impossible to, like, separate what – how much of it is a result of, like, better play calling and how much of it is a result of just, like, the defenses that are calling plays against are easier.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can really look at is the procedural stuff. If they stop having to – call timeouts for delay of games, that they stop having these weird personnel issues.
Yeah.
Then at that point you can probably attribute that to Thomas Brown. But other than that, I mean, one thing that's not really being discussed either is that, yeah, Frank Reich did assemble a fucking all-star coaching staff, but they also really, most of these guys never really coached together either. So
right.
There's an acclimation period there as well. I don't know. I just want to come out of the bye week, see the Panthers beat the Texans, and just move on with my life.
Right. Yeah. You know, like, let's get off the schneid. Let's just have something to be happy about.
Yeah, go in on a Monday and not be angry that the Panthers lost in horrifying fashion, which has been our reality for the last few weeks. So,
like I said, like as watching the recaps or writing the recaps, it's like I feel like I'm writing the same thing every week. Like,
yeah,
Panthers offense, pretty good start moving the ball. Maybe we had to kick a field goal because it couldn't punch it in the end zone, but you know, it's good, encouraging signs to start. And then it's like fourth quarter offense just punted for the fourth possession in a row, and the game is just unraveling. Like,
yeah,
it's that's been the script pretty much every week.
And it sucks too, because I like that the aggression I've seen at times on like fourth and short.
Yeah,
it just doesn't ever really seem to work out for them, whether right. they actually do get it. And then just throw a pick or end up getting sacked out of field goal range, and then it doesn't end up mattering. Like, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like I said it in our like Slack channel. The first time when we settled for the field goal at the end of the first half against the Dolphins, and it was just like I love when you play it safe, you take the easy safe route and then the safe route fails.
Like, yeah.
Really, really makes the decision to be conservative look really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't fun. That was kind of what turned the tide,
right.
Unfortunately, in that Dolphins game.
Because it's like, all right, cool, kick a field goal to make it, what, 21-17? Like, the Dolphins are still going to keep scoring touchdowns. Like, that field goal is going to be inconsequential.
Yeah.
And then the Panthers missed it, which is just, like, demoralizing and, like, didn't need that. Awful. But I do appreciate that they did the fake punt, and then the other fourth and basically they got a redo. They got like a fourth and short, like the exact same spot. They tried and they went for it that time and failed that as well. But still, I do like the ideas.
Yeah. No, there are some solid ideas there. So I guess we'll see. But any chance that you see Frank Reich being fired this year if they continue on this downward slope somehow coming out of the bye week?
Not during the season. Yeah, that's what you mean.
You think you might get fired after the season?
I think it's unlikely, but if things continue this way, I wouldn't protest the decision. I wouldn't necessarily call for it, but I'd be like, you know, oh, I get it. But I don't think, like, it's not such a disaster. Like, the in season, like, we've seen it twice. Last what two years in a row, right, where a first year coach got fired before the end of the year.
But
both of those situations were just like disasters, like from a not only from like a on field, like both on and off the field thing, and that's I don't think that's gonna be a problem here.
No, I mean, if they can manage to win, let's just say, two or three of their next five games, then I think that Frank Reich is safe. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me to blow up the coaching staff after 1 year where you traded up for a rookie quarterback and your offense was kind of just thrown together
Right.
pieces for his weapons. So yeah, I kind of agree there. I just see some movement as far as like talk that they should fire Frank Reich and move on, and where I'm like, okay, well, but you have like Ejiro Evero, who seems good, and you have Thomas Brown, who's supposed to be that next like hot shot offensive coordinator. So what do you do then? You fire them too? It's like,
Right.
what about Scott Fitterer? What do you think about him going forward?
I don't know. I don't also have a super strong opinion on that either. Like super, I'm super boring, right? But I think he's been fine. I think all right, as dumb as this might sound, when I'm like deciding whether or not like if for me internally, like whether a general manager is good or not, I don't really care how I don't factor in too much like how good the players are, because that's more luck than anything. It's more like the process, the thought process behind things, right? So like the
Right.
quarterback situation, that was bad, but that also was probably more a Matt Rhule thing. I think we kind of concluded, right? With like the
Yeah.
Sam Darnold Baker Mayfield thing. And then but like, and I don't like the trading up, but that's always in the middle rounds and stuff. Excuse me. The fact that like if draft picks aren't hitting and stuff like that, I don't really like hold that against the general manager, because like I've looked stuff up before. That stuff is like entirely luck driven. So people will say like, it's a failing of their like player evaluation or whatever, but like for one, like they're heavily reliant on scouts and stuff for that, and two, like everyone, like general managers get like, criticized or maligned or whatever for missing on draft picks, and then we also like to make fun of mock drafts for like not getting them right and also missing on draft picks. So it's just like it turns out everybody sucks at this thing. Like we're all just it's just the ones that are good drafters are just kind of riding a hot streak.
Yeah. I think the only fault that I have towards Scott Fitterer right now is just that he seems to make these trade ups for the coaches.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know how good of a strategy that is, especially when you're on a franchise where you're not winning
Right.
because
Yeah, that's
those
yeah.
coaches may be gone. But a good example, though, is Chuba Hubbard. And they didn't trade up for him, obviously. But fourth round pick, first 2 years, Panthers fans hated that guy, wanted him gone. And this year, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, well, actually, he may be better than the running back that we just signed in free agency, who was supposed to be RB1.
Right.
It takes time. Like, that's kind of how I feel about DJ Johnson. Like, and that's the big one that Panthers fans really hate right now, is the fact that they traded up for DJ Johnson when they have so many other needs. But he also was a third round rookie.
Right.
So maybe his rookie year isn't the best benchmark to grade him on, especially since, he's getting into the NFL, was already a player who kind of was more of a projection anyway, even though he's like, what, 25 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, give him 2 years, see what happens. But if the Panthers somehow like end the season where they're like, they have one win, 2 wins or 0 wins, I think Scott Fitterer does get the boot
Oh yeah, I
personally.
mean,
Yeah.
yeah. Again, they're both kind of in a similar spot where I'm not like, neither of them, both neither Reich nor Fitter are have done anything enough for me to be like. To come to their defense if like the team were to decide to fire them. Not that my defense would mean anything, but
Yeah.
internet
You just get
points.
yelled at by Panthers
Yeah.
fans. Yeah.
But I'm like, but that neither of them are at a point where I'm actively saying like this is what needs to happen, or this is what I think should happen.
Right.
So yeah. Hot takes.
Maybe in a perfect world, we fire Frank Reich if things really go off the rails, and make Ejiro Evero the head coach, and then Luke Kuechly just magically shows up and plays and is the defensive coordinator. I'd like that very much. I don't know about you.
Yeah, sure.
You seem skeptical about that.
Yeah, I don't think Luke Kuechly has got any a desire to come out of football retirement. I mean, he's on the
No, he
radio, but
doesn't. He
still.
doesn't seem like that. No, I'm sure he does like whatever football things he does on the side is kind of like just something he does for fun. Where if he were to come in as a defensive coordinator, I know, knowing him, he'd be balls to the wall about it. So
Yeah.
if he actually chose to do it, but yeah.
Nah, he seems just like, and I said this when he retired, like I remember when he retired and I said it on the show, like I remember being like surprisingly not surprised. It's like
Yeah.
shocking, huge news. Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly retires at like 29 years old, and I was like, yeah, sounds right.
Yeah.
And it was just like it didn't really like hit me how weird it was, given like how good he's all, how good he was and how young he was, but like my just like instant reaction to the news was just kind of like, yeah. Seems like it's about that time.
Yeah.
So like I said, Andrew Luck's never gonna come back and be like an offensive coordinator. He's
Yeah.
just gonna make appearances as Captain Andrew Luck on college football
Yeah.
broadcasts.
I'm sure he and Luke Kuechly hang out and fish together in secret. That's kind of what
Right.
I expect. Yeah.
And then, like, maybe talk about some football, and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, I caught like a little bit of a couple of the games on Sunday," and like,
Yeah.
but it's just very like casual.
Yeah. It's very casual, just, but they occasionally like get real nerdy about it for
Yeah,
like 5 minutes and then they get back to, fishing. So
they like casually watch the games for like 30 minutes, and then talk about it like in super in-depth, like
yeah.
schematic conversation about the 5 minutes that they watched on the TV broadcast.
Where no one else would hear them.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, man. But I think we've pretty much covered everything we can aside from
Yeah.
a projection for the rest of the season. I don't even really want to do that for the record just because I feel
Nah.
like I'm going to just be super wrong regardless. I just kind of want to hope for, like a couple wins would be nice.
Like I said, as long as the Panthers do not trade the first overall pick to the Bears, I'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree. Give them the first pick if they somehow end up with the first overall pick and the fifth pick. You know what? Fine. Does it suck? Yeah, but whatever. So.
Yeah, like second pick, not great, but whatever. But if the first overall pick, Caleb Williams, should have been ours, but it's going to the Bears, I'll be upset. If it's like
Yeah.
the third pick, it sucks to not have the third pick, but at least it's not that situation of like, oh man, we missed out on the quarterback to get the quarterback that's got us here to this
Yep.
spot to pick another bad one. So yeah.
Right. Well, I think that about wraps it up, John. I don't know if there's anything else you'd like to
Yeah,
discuss.
I'm all ready to go.
Well, sounds good. Well, from all of us here at the Keep Sounding Podcast, we'll join you sometime after the bye week to discuss how things are going. Hopefully, not as horrifying as they have been. But stay tuned, stay safe, stay healthy. Check us out on CSR for all of your game coverage. We'll talk to you soon.
See you.